you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you. This is an important night for you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And right now, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I call everyone on this line and everyone who will be listening later, I call your spirit to attention.
Yes.
I call your spirit forward to Shema, hear.
Yes.
What the word of the Lord is saying tonight. Lord, I ask tonight that you cleanse our eyes and cleanse our spiritual eyes, cleanse our ears and cleanse our spiritual ears, Lord.
Yes.
That we may hear what you want to say and what you want to do.
Yes, Lord.
You know, as we're talking about this being the season of refining, it is the season of our destiny.
That's right.
You know, what happened, let me ask you a question, Mr. Clark. What happened there at Passover?
It was just a very powerful time. We crossed over.
What does that mean?
We crossed into a new dimension. We crossed into the promise. And now we're going to be moving in much more authority and much more anointing as we prepare ourselves to receive that. You know, if we haven't been preparing ourselves, God can entrust us greater authority and greater power. So here we are. When we say refining this year, you're actually in the season of refining between the first fruits after the Passover and Shavuot, which is Pentecost. We talked about it last year. You go through a process during that period of time, and you're sifted, and there's heat applied and crushing and sifting. And you go through 13 sieves, and it's a part of that bringing to the perfect measure.
Sieves.
Just a really beautiful picture of what God is doing in His body to bring them forth with purity and holiness and righteousness that God is doing, not man is doing. God is doing in us.
And you know, as Ken spoke earlier with you guys, that he wanted to take you down along the journey that he took. Well, tonight I want to take you a little bit on my journey and what the Lord, how he works some things in me. And, you know, the Lord has been drawing us. Our Father has been drawing us.
That's right.
Because inside of him is such a fire of jealousy. Inside
That's right.
of him, he desires us so much. We have no idea. You know, he tells Israel, he says, my name is jealousy. You know, and he calls them the pupil, you know, of his apple, of his eye. And that is for us too, guys.
That's right.
And, you know, at the beginning, I remember, you know, when I was moving into this transition of experiencing the Father's love, one of the things that the Lord told me that he wanted me to do, and I just say this to you because maybe you're someone that this would help you too. He told me to go to the very first chapter in the book of Genesis and to begin to read the Bible to myself and to take out the word God and put in the word Father or whatever word for Father you have. It could be Dad. It could be Baba. It could be Papa. It could be Abiji. It could be Abi. Abi means my father in Hebrew. It could be, you know, just the word father. But whatever word for father you feel comfortable with, because he's trying to help us be drawn into him. And so he said, this is my story. And he told me to read it to myself like I was reading a Bible story to me. And this is how it would go, guys. Now, I use the word Avi, which means my father in Hebrew. Av is father, and Avi is my father. So it would be like this. In the beginning, Avi created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was totally empty, devoid of all life, both animal and plant. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the spirit of Avi hovered brooded over the face of the waters. And Avi said, light be, and there was light. And Avi saw the light, that it was good. And Avi divided the light from the darkness. And Avi called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, day one. And Avi said, firmament, be in the midst of the waters. Divide the waters from the waters. And Avi made firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And Avi called the firmament the heavens. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. Now, as I read that, did you see kind of the change that took place? It became a personal word. Because I'm speaking about my father. See, in our culture, and maybe the culture of the Chinese and the Koreans too, I don't know. But in our culture, we hear the word God, but it just doesn't bring a personal touch to it. For most, you hear the word God in other contexts, you know. And it does. For me, it didn't have the personal feeling that the Lord, my Father, wanted me to have. He wanted me to receive Him and let it begin to sink into my spirit man that He is my Father. So He had me to just, as I said, begin to read the Word to myself like I was reading a Bible story and put in me, it was Avi. Some people might use Abba. You know, whatever the word is that the Lord draws you to. That
whatever is a term of endearment.
Yeah.
For the Lord.
No, whatever He draws you to. Begin to read the word and let it begin to penetrate into you in a personal way that it hasn't before.
It's really His love letter to us. How He wants us to be and how He wants us to act. That's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and as I began to do that, it began to, inside of me, I could see a change taking place because it was drawing me closer into Him, was drawing Him closer into me. It was just a intimacy.
Greater
it was reality. It was an intimacy that hadn't been there before because it became a reality that this was my Father I was talking about. This wasn't a faraway God. This was my Father who did these things. And the feelings that He was projecting, they were for me.
That's right.
And it became so personal because it was for me. You know, and it was became so easy to feel and experience His love, even in reading His word in a different way.
Sure.
And I wanted to share that with you tonight before we actually start teaching on ungodly beliefs tonight. So I hope that just speaks to some of you, maybe.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that.
So we're going to review just a bit on what we talked about last 2 weeks ago on what is an ungodly belief. We said that an ungodly belief is something you and I see that's not the way God sees it. In actuality, it is a belief God does not believe. And you know the truth is that if God doesn't believe it, guys, that means it's unbelief. It is an unbelief because He doesn't believe it. He is truth, and He believes truth. And if it's not what He believes, it's an untruth, which means it's an unbelief.
And really, part of this process is to be able to bring us in to truth, how He sees things. Part of the issue, and I just want to say this right here at this point, part of the issue in Shuvah, or return, repentance and return, is we've been doing the repentance, but we have to come all the way back to God. And he's, and this is part of that process. He's wooing us. He's telling us, come all the way back, come all the way in. And this is where he goes and helps these areas. This is part of the return. It's going to be part of Israel's return. It's going to be part of every believer's return as this begins to manifest.
Yeah. So an ungodly belief, that makes it kind of important to get rid of it, because the Lord told me, he said, what comes out of your mouth should be what comes out of my mouth. And I want you to write that down, because the Lord told me that. What comes out of your mouth should be what comes out of my mouth.
When you look at it from that perspective, what is the word all about anyway? It's about the testimony. It's about the testimony of the Lord in the earth. And the thing about it is, when he spoke to Moses, and he told him, I want you to build the ark this size, just like this, just like I'll show you. I believe he actually showed it to him in a type of hologram, where Moses could literally see exactly what the object looked like, and God gave him the dimensions. And so he said, Moses, you're to build it exactly as I tell you. And so the Lord was communicating that what he was going to place on earth was a mirror of what he already had created in heaven. So had Moses gone and said, you know what? It'd be great if we just supersized that for down here. What would that have been? First, it'd have been disobedience, because God had already given the dimensions. But the most important thing in this is it would have been a perversion. It would not have spoken what the ark in heaven is speaking, because it was not the exact same. And so one thing is, we want to present what God is presenting. We don't always do that, but we're a part of the testimony, and to be part of the testimony, we have to be communicating what the testimony is communicating. As we grow in this love of the Father, God's expecting us to let him do the work in us, so the love of the Father is literally flowing through you and I. It's like I show people in my congregation all the time. I take a bottle, and I say, you see this liquid in this bottle? They said, uh-huh. I say, well, that's your light bottle. The liquid has nothing to do with you. You're simply holding it. And I said, when you pour out, God fills back up. You pour out, and God fills back up. Because when you stop pouring out, God stops filling back up. And so it's about the testimony. It's about becoming the testimony of who he is. When he works those things in us, that we're speaking, we're how can I say this? It's actually just flowing off of us. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of who we're supposed to be. It's a part of our being. And that's the thing the Lord is trying to seat in our spirit in this age.
You see, his life fills us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His life fills us.
That's right.
And what his desire for us is that his life is coming forth from our mouth. Every time we open our mouth, his life is coming forth from it.
It affects everything around
and
us.
And what he's after is that life becomes so real inside of us that we don't have to stop and think about what comes out of our mouth. Because it's very tedious if you have to stop and think about what comes out of my mouth. Something just came out of my mouth. Oh, God. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I know that's not right. I know. He wants to bring us to the place where we don't have to go through that tearing down process. He wants us to be so full of his life that it just naturally exudes from us. It just naturally flows from us. We can walk into a place, and we don't even have to open our mouth.
That's right.
His life precedes us in there.
That's right.
And it doesn't have to be a hard thing. You know, his life has already prepared the way for us.
You know, one of the prophets said the Lord was sending them a place and said, just go and be, only use words if you have to.
Yeah, and you know, and,
because you're just being, you're being that.
And when you are in that place, the pressure is off of you.
That's right.
The pressure,
it's performance.
If the pressure's off, because you're just being.
Right.
Who are you being? You're being Him. He is filling you with His life, and it's just coming out of you naturally. It's coming through the pores of your skin. It's radiating from you. It's just pure life. And people love that life, unless they're, you know, like hooked into darkness so bad they don't want to. But,
you know, keep in mind again, this is a process. And this is what He's trying to work in us. This is what He desires us to be walking in. It's really the way the kingdom functions. And that's the transition you and I are in right now, moving from the church age and how the church age functioned to how the kingdom functions. It's just a different way of doing things. And He's teaching us how to do this.
You know, and the chart that Ken sent to you, Ken shared, you know, we went through the process several years ago, rewriting our ungodly beliefs and into godly beliefs. And as he said, every night before we went to bed, we would read them. We would read them. He would read his, I would read mine.
Just declare them over our lives.
And it wasn't long before I began to notice what I just said to you began to happen to me.
That's right.
I wasn't having to stop and think about what's coming out of my mouth, because it wasn't coming out anymore. It wasn't part of who I was anymore. The Lord was actually going into the very fabric of my being, and He was reweaving who I was and what I felt about Him, what I felt about myself, what I felt about others. It was all becoming Him. And so it took the pressure off, because now it was like, I don't have to think about these things anymore. It just comes out, you, Lord. How awesome, Lord. It just comes. And I remember being so eternally grateful and so eternally thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
Because it freed me up to be who He was in me. And His life could flow out of me into others. His life could flow out of me and worship Him. It was awesome. That's the place He's bringing us to, Guy.
That's
an awesome thing. You know, the scripture says that Yeshua was full and abundant of grace and truth. That's why everywhere He went was life. His way was life. I am the way, the life, and the truth, because His way was life. His way was truth. It was all tied in the same thing. And that's what He's desiring for His people. You know, and we talked last week about the ungodly beliefs. You know, they direct how we see ourselves, how we see others, how we see our Father God. It directs how we live our life. Our beliefs form our convictions. Our beliefs determine the decisions we make. And most importantly, our beliefs either help us or hinder us.
Sure.
Now, He gave me that one straight from His mouth. My beliefs, He said, it will either help you or hinder you. And you know, our life experiences, our hurts and our wounds, our choices, our successes, our failures, all these things have been a part of our life, you know, and many ungodly beliefs go back to times and incidences that happened in our childhood. And some of those incidences, because they're so traumatic, some people will spend most of their lives reviewing and reliving those incidences looking through the eyes of the child.
That's right.
As they live them and relive them, it's like they're hooked in time.
It's like they're captured. It's like they're locked into that.
Yeah, time. It's like they're captured in that time season in their life. And every time they think back on it, those same feelings they had when they lived through that, those same feelings come back. And those feelings are housed and connected with that. And every time they see an event or hear words that are similar, it triggers it. And here it comes again.
You'll see a lot of people that have those kind of, like Debbie is speaking of, that they're locked in that emotional age.
That's a good way to put it.
Where they just get locked into that emotional age. If something happened to someone at 6 years old, it's like their emotional development, in a sense, kind of stopped right there. That's not to say they didn't grow up and become an adult, but a lot of things about them, because of that hurt, are kind of stuck emotionally right there.
And it's like those feelings continue, and we view others or our own self or our Avi through the window of those child feelings that we felt then. Well, godly beliefs help undo those. Letting the Lord wash over you helps change that.
Well, see, what the Father's desire is to go back everywhere you were hurt and wounded. He's the only one that can walk outside of your timeline. And what he wants to do is he wants to go back from the day of your conception to this very day. He wants to go back everywhere in your timeline that you were hurt and wounded. And I can tell you that's been thousands of times probably, but specifically maybe 10 or 12, 5 to 10 real traumatic experiences in your life. And he wants to go back into those places where you were hurt and wounded. And he wants to pour his love into those areas. And it brings absolute healing when he does that. And the wild thing about it is, once he's done that in you, it's as if it never happened. It corrects everything to the present. It renews, it restores as if it never happened.
Right.
It's just the most amazing thing. Listen, who wouldn't want that in their life? Who wouldn't want that? You know, I experienced that personally myself when I was going through the Father's love, and some of this was part of that. And some of what we'll talk about the next PCL training, Bitterroot's judgments, and then after that we'll be talking about vows, inner vows. And God was going through all this stuff trying to show me areas that I was hung up in different ways. And he wanted to set me free in that area. So it's a really beautiful thing how he's doing this, because this is truly to set the captive free. He's truly opening prison doors. He's truly, and you might say, well, that I've never been in prison. I've never been in bondage like what you're talking about. Maybe you haven't, and I hope you haven't, and I hope you never had to go through that. But most of us still have things that God is trying to get to. He's trying to free us from. I mean, we're mankind, and mankind has all kinds of things going on. And the thing about it is, the Lord is revealing these and taking them out so that there's no darkness in us. You see, they said about Yeshua, the enemy wanted to try to trip him up. But Yeshua said, he has nothing in me. What was he saying? There is no darkness in me that he has command over. And that's what he's wanting to do with us. And that's what this is all about. And you might say, look, I don't have a lot of darkness in me. We'd be surprised what's sitting on some of the thrones of our souls. Even though we've been in church, even though we've been walking with God, we'd be surprised. The Word of God says the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And I'm not saying we're ugly people in the sense like that. I'm just simply saying God's work in this hour is to preparing us for kingdom work. And he's doing that Isaiah 40 thing. He's bringing up the low places in us. He's bringing down the high places. He's straightening out the crooked places, and he's smoothing out the rough places. And that's what's actually going on in you and I. But because before you and I can lead that on the earth, it has to be going on within us first.
You know, for a while, my son and daughter-in-law lived with us about a year and a half, and they had this little tiny chihuahua. Her name was Roxy, and Roxy was in our backyard. We had to hook her to a chain from time to time, and she was the funniest thing because she would run back and forth every day, run back and forth over the same path every day. And my son came to me. He says, "Mom, I'm sorry. You know, she's making a rut in your yard, and the grass won't even grow there now." You know, and Ken and I said, "It's okay. You know, it'll grow back eventually when she's gone." You know, and it has. But at the time, she would just follow the same little path every day, back and forth. I bet you she would run that same little path 100 times. Yeah. Every day.
It was as if she was in a fence.
You know, and the funniest, it was just funny looking. But, you know, technically in the brain, what happens is exactly what Roxy was doing. You know, I pulled this from Warrior Nations, and it says, when you think, your brain generates electrical energy that travels from neuron to neuron. As these electrical pulses travel across your brain, the neurons involved develop more, and it creates a pathway that's ever easier for the electrical pulses to follow. Therefore, your brain develops a system of trails or highways. And when you think a thought over and over again, that trail becomes a deep rut. Having thought the thought over and over again, it will begin to affect your reasoning and become a part of your belief system. You will eventually justify or defend your actions, even though they may be ungodly. You will eventually convince yourself that you have a good reason or right for your beliefs and resultant actions. To break out of this downward spiral will take some determined effort. It takes time to change a direction, just as it took time and repetition to form your ungodly beliefs, it will take time and repetition to replace them with your new godly beliefs. God has provided the way, but you have to choose it.
That's right.
And you remember in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5.
That's right.
It tells us to pull down, tear down every thought that is against God. Now,
that's actually ungodly beliefs.
It is. And see, when Roxy moved with my son, the grass did not just immediately grow back in that rut that she had created. It took a while for that grass to come back. Now it's come back and it's covered that area. But they've been moved out now for about 8 months, and it took a while. And it's going to take sometimes a while, you know, before these things to come back. You know, and a lot of times, guys, we look at the fruit of the tree. We don't focus on the root of the tree. I remember at the DCGOE, I know I have shared this, but I want to reshare it. I had a vision. And we were in not the last DCGOE, but the one not this last DCGOE, but the one before that. And I had a vision. The Lord had come, and he was doing some healings. And I had a vision of a little girl, and she was in something like a forest. And she looked up at toward the end part of the forest, and she saw her daddy. And this little girl loved her daddy. And she saw her daddy, and she started running toward him because she knew he would pick her up and hold her close. And her delight was so happy in him, and his delight was so happy in her. And she started running. And I saw her chubby little legs, and she was running with all her might. And those huge trees had some big roots sticking out of the ground. And she fell over with a root. But she got up, and her first thing when she got back up was to look and see if Daddy was still standing there. And he was still calling her to come, come. And she continued running with all her might, and she fell over another big root. And she got up, the same process, looked to see if Daddy's still there, and he's still calling. And she cried out, "I'm coming, Daddy. I'm coming. I'm coming." In other words, it was like, "Don't give up on me, Daddy. Don't give up. I'm coming. I'm coming. Don't give up on me. I'm coming." And she kept running toward him. And I remember at that GOE, I shared that with Ricky. And she said, and I felt it myself, was that the Lord was saying, "You've got to deal with the roots, because you, that's what you're stumbling over. You're stumbling because of the roots." And that's what we've got to go after. We tend to look at a tree, at the fruit of the tree, to determine about the tree. But the Lord looks at the root. He said in Matthew 7:18, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." He also said in Matthew 12:33, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is recognized and judged by its fruit." You see, ungodly beliefs are about changing the roots.
That's right.
We have to go to the source of the fruit. Why? Because the Word says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks the word. It speaks. That's what the Word says. In Matthew 12:34, it says, "For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Let me say that again. "For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Now, Luke 6:45 says, "The good man produces what is good and honorable and moral out of the good treasure stored in his heart. And the evil man produces what is wicked and depraved out of the evil in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart." We're also told that out of the heart are the issues of life. And the Lord tells us in Proverbs 4:23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life."
That's right.
We're told in Proverbs 10:11, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, and his words of wisdom are a source of blessing. But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence and evil." You see, ungodly beliefs set us up. They do, guys. You may say, "Well, I don't really speak wrong." But guys, the Lord looks at the heart and he sees the intent. He sees what you're not saying. Sometimes silence speaks louder than words coming out of your mouth, and he knows this. He's looking at what's in our heart. I've told you this. I saw him one time, and he had on a spelunker's hat, you know, the caveman helmet, the hat of a miner.
Cave dweller.
Yeah, a miner, one who works in the mines, and he had on the helmet with the light on it. And I asked him, I said, "What are you doing? Where are you?" And he said, "I'm in your heart. I'm in the chambers of your heart. I'm looking at the recesses in your heart to see what's hidden there so that we can get it right." You see, the ungodly beliefs do set us up for failure or for struggles that will tie us down when we could experience freedom in that area. See, without going to the source of the fruit, there's no real change. The Lord told me, he said, there's only behavior modification. Without going to the source of the fruit, there's no real change. There is only behavior modification. That's when you have to think about what you say. You're modifying your behavior. And he wants to get us past that.
That's right.
We need it changed.
That's not a lasting.
No, we need it changed. Because that's not freedom. That's not freedom.
It's a Band-Aid. It's not dealing with the root.
Right. We need it changed and removed so it lines up with God's belief. And as Ken said, many times we try to put a Band-Aid on the problem when what's really needed is surgery.
That's right.
So what do we do? Step one is to identify. Just like the massive root system of the trees cannot be readily seen with the naked eye, so it is with ungodly beliefs. Remember the vision, the little girl in the roots. The same thing happens with us. Step two is understanding. This comes from the Lord's revelation to you and changing the agreement you have made about you or others or even our Lord, many not intentionally. It's just the way you've been brought up, the way you've come through life. Remember, an ungodly belief is something the Lord does not believe. So it is in agreement with the enemy of our soul. So our step three is an action plan where we sit with the Lord and let him reveal and let him wash over us and heal and cleanse and restore. And then actively restating the unbeliefs that have been uncovered so that they agree with Avi, our Father. And then we stay consistent until the process is completed.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Deb. I want to give you some examples just to start off with. In just a moment, we're going to look at the chart that I sent you, the table H and I. So you may want to, if you don't have that nearby, you may want to go ahead and get that because we're gonna walk through that together. This other examples I'd like to just share with you. The ungodly belief is might be I'm a bad person, but the godly belief is I'm a godly person, righteous, according to Psalm 31:1. Another ungodly belief might be, I feel guilty. I have godly sorrow, which brings repentance. The godly belief, I have godly sorrow, which brings repentance and change, according to 2 Corinthians 7:10. And the reason I'm giving you some of these is so you can kind of get an idea of how you're going to state your godly belief. A godly, ungodly belief might be, I'm unlovable. A godly belief would be, I'm loved and I'm cherished, according to John 3:16. God sent his Son to save us. Another ungodly belief might be, I was a mistake. But that's not what Jeremiah 1:5 says or Proverbs 19:21. I was planned and created with a purpose. You see, an ungodly belief might be, I can't do such and such. I can't do so and so. And a godly belief would be, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Matthew 19:26. Another ungodly belief might be, my prayers are ineffective. But a godly belief would be, my prayers are effective and needed, according to James 5:16. Another ungodly belief might be that God doesn't listen to me. And a godly belief concerning that would be God listens and values what I say. John 9:31 and Jeremiah 29:12. Another ungodly belief might be I'm scared of everything. But a godly belief in that place would be God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and joy and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Another example of ungodly belief might be, sometimes I think I must be crazy. But as we just saw there in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has given me a sound mind. So what we're doing is, for the places, even in that handout I gave you, you may have already made some check marks going through that. And we'll look at that in just a minute. I want to go to the chart now, and I want to begin to look at some things with the chart. You know, there may be some other statements here. You may have actually already looked through this, and you might say, "Well, I can think of another statement that fits me." Well, most of these have a line number 6, and you could actually put that statement there of that particular ungodly belief in these different theme areas.
And knowing that this first side is about ourselves, and the other side is about others.
The second sheet.
Yeah. And, you know, the way that it worked with me is I read through, like, the first one, I don't belong, I will always be on the outside left. I read through, and I checked which ones applied to me. And if none of those applied to me, I wrote in number 6, what did apply to me. Sometimes you may have 2 checked, you may have 3 checked, you may have all of them checked. You may only have 1 checked. You know, and then I did that for each one of these, and once I finished, then I was ready to rewrite my godly belief.
Right. The first part of this exercise that I'm going to have you do, that's the reason I sent this to you, is you don't have to do it right now. You don't have to do it tonight. But I'd like for you to take some time after this session. When you have time, I don't want you to be pressured. I want you to really have time before the Lord. And go down through here and be honest. Be honest with yourself. And go down through here and check the ones that apply.
And
as Debbie, no condemnation. There's no condemnation. The Lord is helping us here. And so you'll just go down and check all the ones that apply to you. And like I said, if you have others, you can write them in, or you can go to another page and write them in. Because what we're going to do is, once you've gotten these checked, then you're going to write godly belief statements to counter that ungodly belief. And that's the sheet that you're going to have separate from this, and you're going to have, I recommend you doing it at bedtime. That's what we did. That's what Ann told us. She said, it seems to be best for most people that they have it beside their bed or in their nightstand, and when they get ready to go to sleep at night, they review that.
And then it's working in your spirit all night long.
Yeah, it's working in you as you sleep. And so I thought that was a really awesome idea. Debbie and I went through this. She asked us to do this for 6 months. And it turned out, honestly, that Debbie and I did this for 1.5 years. We didn't have to. God didn't make us. But we were so blessed by the change it was making that we just continued it. And like I said, you might find that a little overboard, but it was a blessing to us. She did ask us to do it 6 months. So you'll go down through these. You'll check what has to do with you.
And this
I'd like to read, and
this is not something you'll be sharing with anyone.
No, this is...
I mean, you know, we're not going to say to you, no, you know, tell us what you got.
Yeah,
This is private.
We're not going to say, send us yours. You know,
this is
between you and God.
That's right.
Okay, and so you're just gonna do this. He's working with you in this. We trust the Holy Spirit, since he's asked us to do this. We just trust Him to do the work. The key is you've got to apply yourself, because if you're just listening to this and seeing this as a teaching and you have you're not planning on doing that, then you really will not reap what God wants to do in this. I really encourage you to do that. You know, a lot of us, it's sort of like Candace said a couple of weeks ago, you know, a lot of times we don't really think we need a lot of this. But, you know, if we'll just cooperate with God, He'll come and He'll do a work far beyond what you and I think or can imagine. And so it's a part of humbling ourselves. It's a part of saying, God, you know, I kind of get twinged on these things when I read down through here. And anytime you're getting a little twinged with something, that's you. So just go ahead and check that. Don't feel bad about any of it. You know, Debbie had certain ones and I had certain others. Some of them we had the same. You know, as husband and wife, we share with one another, but you don't have to. You know, that's between you and God. If you choose to do that, that's fine. But we did. We shared between each other.
And some of these, you may read the whole statement, and you may say, well, the whole statement doesn't apply to me. So just strike out the part that doesn't apply.
Right.
You know, and leave the part that does apply.
But, you know, the thing is, we followed through, and we followed through, and we got the benefit. And I hope you will. I hope you'll follow through, because I want you to have the benefit. It was a huge benefit to us. You know, like I said, I'd been a pastor for 20-something years at the time, almost 20 years. And, you know, I could have said, you know, I'm not doing this. I don't need this. You know, but the thing about it is I humbled myself, and I saw I very much needed it. And so I just encourage you to do that. What I want to start with is the top of that table. Ungodly beliefs about ourselves. And I just want to read down through here. I feel like let's just read down through it. The first one is the theme is rejection, not belonging. Here are some of the things under that theme. I don't belong. I will always be on the outside. I'll always feel left out. Maybe you felt that in your life. My feelings don't count. Nobody really cares what I feel. No one will love me or care about me just for myself. In other words, I have to perform if I want people to care about me or I want people to love me. I will always be lonely. That special man or woman in my life will not be there for me. The best way to avoid more hurt, rejection, etc., is just to isolate myself, to stay away from it all. You know, you may feel some of those. You know, you may have felt that way growing up. You may have felt that way in your adult life. Well, God wants to reverse that, and He's giving you and I a way to do that. We come to the next theme, and like I said, there's a line under that. You may say, well, I didn't really feel that about any of that, but I have my own. We'll write it in at number 6 or take another sheet of paper. You may say, well, I've got some that are not there. Just write them on another sheet of paper, because what you're going to do is you're going to counter them with godly statements, godly truths. The second one here, the theme is unworthiness or guilt or shame. I'm not worthy to receive anything from God. I am the problem. When something goes wrong, it's always my fault, or it's my fault. I'm a bad person. If you really knew me, you would reject me. If I wear a mask, people don't find out how horrible I am and reject me. Or if they don't get to know me, you know, they won't reject me. That's the idea there. Or I have messed up so badly that I've missed God's best for me. You know, I've blown it somewhere and I just can't forgive myself, and God can't forgive me. That's the idea there. We go to the next thing. Doing to achieve self-worth, to value or recognition. I will never get credit for what I do. You may have been on a job and you may have worked very, very hard, but it seems like somebody else always gets the credit. You may have grown up and you did everything to get noticed and to be loved, but it just didn't seem to go that way. This is part of that. My value is in what I do. I'm valuable because I do good for others, because I'm successful. See, it's that performance mentality that we talked about. And you don't have to do that for God. A lot of you on this line tonight, you performed. You performed for your parents. You performed for your business, for your job, for people in your life. You performed to get love, to be accepted, that kind of thing. You don't have to do that with the Father. He's not about performance. He loves you the way you are. He's going to work with us to get us where we need to be, but he'll never love us more than he does right now. He sent his Son. It's just totally, it's when you start unraveling that one, it's just past what you can imagine. Number three here, even when I do or give my best, it's not good enough. I never meet the standard. I can avoid conflict that would risk losing others' approval by being passive and not doing anything. Another one would be, God doesn't care if I have a secret life as long as I appear to be good. You see, a lot of these are performance-based in this particular one, for self-recognition or love or whatever that might be, value, that kind of thing. The next theme is control, control to avoid hurt. I have to plan every day of my life. I have to continually plan and strategize. I can't relax. See, that's another performance mentality. The perfect life is one in which no conflict is allowed, and so there is peace. Well, first of all, there is no perfect life other than Yeshua. And I can guarantee you, he had a lot of conflict to get there, because it says that he learned obedience through what he suffered. So there you go. The next theme is physical, a physical appearance kind of thing. I'm unattractive. God shortchanged me. I'm doomed to have certain physical disabilities. They're just part of what I have inherited. Or it's impossible to lose or gain weight. I'm just stuck. I'm not competent or complete as a man or woman. You know, there are those things that are ungodly beliefs. The next theme is personal traits. I will always be, and you can put in whatever adjective you want, there, angry, shy, jealous, insecure, fearful, etc. That's not true. God wants you to come into that place that what is what he says about you. The next theme is identity. I should have been a boy or a girl. Then my parents would have valued or loved me more. The next one, men or / women have it better. Whichever, if you're a man, you may say women have it better. If you're a woman, you may say men have it better. The next one is, I will never be known or appreciated for my real self. And then I will never really change and be what God wants me to be. And then the last theme on this side of the page is miscellaneous. I've wasted a lot of time and energy in some of my best years. God can take, I just want to speak to that one for a godly belief. God will take the remainder of the time you have as you put forth effort, and he'll change it as almost as if it had never happened. Those years that you wasted, God can do that. God, everything is new. The next one, turmoil is normal for me. And then the third one, I will always have financial problems. So that is on the page of ungodly belief about ourselves. The second page there, which I'd like to look at, is ungodly belief about others. And the first thing there is safety or protection. I must be very guarded about what I say, since anything that I say may be used against me. And the Miranda, right? You know, that's what you hear when cops arrest people. They read you your rights, and we kind of have that mentality sometimes about how we're guarded. I have to guard and hide my emotions and feelings. I cannot give anyone the satisfaction of knowing that they have wounded or hurt me. I'll not be vulnerable humiliated or shamed. So you can see that there are a couple of other forms there that you can write things in. The next one's retaliation. The correct way to respond if someone offends me is to punish them by withdrawing and or cutting them off. Or number two, I will make sure that so-and-so hurts as much as I do. That retaliation thing. You know, God takes care of things. It's his right to judge and deal. And if we'll just stay back out of that, God will take care of that and hopefully change them and change us. The next theme is victim. Authority figures will humiliate and violate me. Authority figures will just use and abuse me. My value is based totally on others' judgment or perception about me. I am completely under people's authority, and I will have no will or choice of my own. I will not be known, understood, or loved, or appreciated for who I am by those that are close to me. And again, you have a couple of write-ins there that you can put in. The next one, theme of hopelessness or helplessness. I am out there all alone. If I get into trouble or need help, there will be no one to rescue me. Then a couple of write-ins there. The theme, defective in relationships. I will never be able to fully give or receive love. I don't know what love is. And two, if I let anyone get close to me, I may get my heart broken again. I can't let myself risk that. If I fail to please you, I won't receive your pleasure and acceptance of me. Therefore, I must strive even more professionalism or performance mentality. I must do whatever is necessary to please you. A lot of us grew up in relationships like that with our parents and maybe even the spouse or a girlfriend or someone else very close to us. The last theme here about God, that God loves other people more than he loves me. God only values me for what I do. My life is just a means to an end. No matter how much I try, I'll never be able to do enough or do it well enough to please God. God is judging me when I relax, so I have to stay busy about his work or he will punish me. You know, God's way more concerned about you resting in him and hearing what he's saying and doing that than he is your busyness. I can tell you in the ministry, that is the biggest trap for people in the ministry, is busyness. It keeps them away, honestly, away from hearing God and the presence of God. And it should be absolutely opposite that. The last one, God has let me down before. He may do it again. I can't trust him or feel secure with him. So those are some that, again, these are just examples. You may have some of your own, and I pray that you'll take those and write those in on another sheet of paper if you have room on this piece of paper. I want to share one last thing with you, and it's this worksheet that I sent you tonight. And, you know, this is just something to work down through. I basically suggested pray first and tell the Lord, you know, God, I want to submit to the process. I want you to come and as Romans 12, 1 and 2, I want you to transform my mind by the reading of your word. Come and search my heart, my thought life. Help me, Lord, to see the places of wrong thinking, the blind spots. I thank you that you created me in your image and you desire to set me free from all negative ways in which I view myself, you and others. You know, ask yourselves, what ungodly beliefs do I have? Now, a lot of them are right here laid out. And I want you to know that in this counseling ministry that we were able to use this from, this is a majority of statements over a lot of people. These were the most prevalent in lots of people. So that's why we have those, and you can use those. It may be that you want to write some of your own. So what ungodly beliefs do we have? Well, you know, God's kind of shown us that over a period of time. And as Debbie hinted a little earlier, whatever comes out of our mouth is what's in our heart, because Matthew 12:24d says, "For out of the heart the mouth speaks." So we want to write down those ungodly beliefs. Like I said, if you can agree with some of these on these sheets, just check those. But if you don't find yourself in some of those there, state that as clear and straightforward as you can and utilize that. Because like I said, you're going to come back and you're going to write a godly belief to cancel out that ungodly belief. And so what is a true godly belief about this? Even if you've not experienced it yet, write it down beneath that. Make a godly belief statement that agrees with what God's Word says about you is true. And we want to express the godly way of looking at the same thing that is revealed in the ungodly belief. So you can use Scripture to help you in this process. Listen to the Holy Spirit as He's helping direct you. And I just gave one little example here. Ungodly belief might be, I must always be in control and look after myself. And that's an ungodly belief. But the godly belief would be, with God's help, I will yield my life to Him and begin to value others and receive from them, because He has designed me to be a part of His body. And so, you know, there's a couple of places there for godly and ungodly belief under that. And on the back side of that page, I listed some things that you can do. You can go down through some steps here, because here's another thing you're going to need to do. With each one of these you check, or each one that you write, I'm talking about the ungodly beliefs, you're going to need to confess that ungodly belief before the Lord. You're going to need to confess the sin of that lie, for instance, like on the front of that page, that I must always be in control and look after myself. Lord, I ask that you forgive me of this, for forming this ungodly belief. Lord, forgive anyone that might have been a part of this in my life, and forgive me for receiving this ungodly belief, and forgive me for judging others in this. I receive your forgiveness. On the basis of your forgiveness, Lord, I choose to forgive myself for believing this lie. And then renounce it. Renounce that lie. Break agreement with it. You know, I choose to believe and accept the truth that I am not like that. I am what God says about me, not what my circumstances has called me to believe. And then at the end of this, once you've gone down through each thing you've checked there, when you finish the repentance for these things, at the end of that, seal it with a prayer. You know, asking God to come and undo those things, that He took those on the cross for you, and that ask the Lord to help you plant godly seeds to take root in your life that will cancel out these things, and that the Holy Spirit would come and help you see this and keep you from falling back in to old thought patterns. God, help me renew my mind with your truth. Father, I pray that your godly thought patterns and habits would be my fruit from this day on. I believe that you will help me to walk in this new freedom. And then, as I said, toward the bottom of that, I really encourage, once you have written your godly belief statements to counter each one of those ungodly belief statements, I really encourage you to keep it beside your bed and read that every night for about 6 months. And I can tell you, and Debbie and I, it had worked long before 6 months. But we just continued. It just became something that we, you know, we didn't want to fall back in old patterns. And so we just kept doing it. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just simply saying it's a suggestion.
And it's okay if husbands and wives
do it. It's okay if husbands and wives do it, or if they do it separate. It doesn't really matter.